started at the Tour in Northwest London, Tuesday, 7th December, 3rd Teves, Rabbi Yisroel Fein, the unique Torah of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. This week's Torah has been sponsored by the word Simchas HaNesuim of Mordechai Rand and Mendy Roth, which takes place today in Mitzvah Shem. Yerotzen Shivu Nebayis, Temo Yisroel Hashem Lesilo.
Before I start, I'll start with something else. I was just actually looking at the Pasha, and Pasha's Vayigash, and I thought to myself, there's a whole vort here from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that I can't leave out, because the first Rashi, or the second Rashi, third Rashi, Ki Chomocha Kafara, Yehuda said. And Rashi brings four pshatim, he gives the pshat, Ato Choshubei Naikamelech, right? Then he brings three pshatim from the Medrash. Seifach lilko salav tzaras. You are like Pharaoh. Pharaoh of old with sorrow had tzaras. You'll end up the same way. Dover acher. Just as Pharaoh's gozer leino mekayim, he doesn't keep his word. You're exactly the same. And then he brings a fourth pshat. Im takni teini. If you provoke me, eragos choves adonecho. I'll kill you. And I'll kill Pharaoh as well. So, the four pshatim, how did they string together? Which one did he mean? The first one, he says, Yochoshim like Kamela. Then the other one, he says, you'll threaten him and you'll end up with Saraz. Which one did he mean, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky? And you know what he says? He said he meant all of them. He meant everyone. Yehuda was a diplomat. And what's the sprach of a diplomat? You go away, you think I meant that. You go away and think about it. And he says, did he mean this? Did he mean that? You know, and the answer is he meant all of it. He says, you think about it and you take away whatever you want. Yehuda was a diplomat. That was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. 35 and a half years ago, just before Purim, 1986, American Jewry was struck by a double tragedy. Two Gedolim were taken away within fortnight of each other, of Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Moshe Feinstein, of course, was the Posek Hador, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, how would they have described him in America? He was their Gadol. And in fact, they say he was a Gadol's Gadol. You know, in Sukkah, you have a variety of pictures. One of the pictures that we all have is a variety of gadolim. Either you have individual photographs, or you have them all sitting around the table. Did they ever get around the table? No, this is an artist's license. Puts them all around the table. Now, if any of us were to interject ourselves into one of those photographs, and I think to myself, who would I like to sit next to most? Who would I enjoy a conversation with? Who would I perhaps be stuck for words with? What would I say to Rav Moshe Feinstein? What would I say to Rav Aaron Kotler? You know who I'd like to sit next to? If I had the schus, I'd like to sit next to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Everything that you learn about him, he was the most normal person, and yet he was a Gadol's Gadol. So, in America, you had, at that time, his cousin, Rav Aaron Kotler. You had Rabbi Yitzchok Huttner, but he was the person I'd like to sit down to dinner with. What was his guidance? First of all, his erudition, his longness was supreme. As a person, as a Baal Midas, he was refined, he had a noble character. He was a teacher, a Malamed par excellence. He was a Baal Eitzah to thousands of people throughout the world. And he was described as the Urim V'Tumim of American Jewry. That sums it up. People, however, say that whatever you saw, his true godliness was hidden. And what was fascinating about him is he spanned phases in his life which are fascinating. He spent 20 years under the influence of the Alter of Slobodka, of Nosson Tzvi Finkel. That was the formative years of his life. That's what fashioned him. He went to America. And he found it very, very difficult. He went to Seattle, couldn't couldn't really find make a Panossa. He ended up in Toronto. Perhaps one shouldn't quote what perhaps he thought about Toronto. Toronto was not a happy period for him. And then, of course, he became the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas in New York, and ended for him, perhaps the most happiest years of his life, 20 years in Monsey, right at the end. So what I want to do is I want to pick out, and hopefully we'll have time, pick out four aspects of his character and see how they appear through his, what you call his magnum opus, his main work, which was his Perush on Chumash. Emes LeYaakov, he wrote on Shas, Chidushim on Shas. Emes LeYaakov, he wrote on Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. But what he's known for, and you've probably got it on the shelf here, his Emes LeYaakov on Chumash is not a Perush on Chumash. It's a series of essays. Every shtickel, every perush that he writes on the pasuk there is an essay. Even if that essay consists of about a dozen lines, or it may take a few pages, you can say that everyone is an essay. So let's start off. One of the most defining characteristics of Rabbi Yaakov was his menschlichkeit. Personal integrity ran, coursed through his blood. He wouldn't brook the slightest bit of deviance in any way. So let me take a pasuk. Avram goes to save Lot from the five kings. Vayishma Avram ki nishba ochiv, vayorek es chanichov. He armed his servants. How many servants were there? There were 318. Against five kings, the odds were impossible. If Avram would have asked himself, or asked God, asked a Shaila, Lo samad al dam reyecho, yes, but what's the situation if there's a Sekonis Nefoshes? If it's Vadai Sekonis Nefoshes, you're Potter from Lo samad al dam reyecho. What about Sofik Sekonis Nefoshes, which it certainly was? And there's a Machlokes, the Choshen Mishpat brings down from the Yerushalmi, that if it's a Vada, it's a Sekonis Nefoshes, you're Potter. What about Sofik Sekonis Nefoshes? There's a Machlokes, the Beis Yosef in the Bach, says that you're Potter, even from Sofik, that you're Chayev, even Sofik Sekonis Nefoshes. The Rambam says no. You're only mechuyev to put yourself in danger because of lo samadam nariyecho if yochol lahatzilo, says the Rambam. If you know that you can save him, but if there's a sofik, no. So why did Avram go to war? This is what Rabbi Yaakov asks. And he says only because of one word which was always on Rabbi Yaakov's lips, menschlichkeit, yashus. We know that the the Gemara in Avodah Zorah Kaf Hei says, why is Bereshis called Sefer HaYosha? Because it deals with Yeshorin. It deals with the Ovos and the Imohos, who were characterized more than anything else because of their Yashus in life. And why did Avram go to war, even though it was a Sofik Sekonis Nefoshes? Because he says, how can I possibly betray Lot in his time of Sekona? When look what Lot has done for me. He followed me into the Kivshan Oesh with Nimrod. And what happened? And his father went in and his father died. Why was he an Yosem? Because his father went into the Kivshan Oesh. When I went to Eretz Canaan, Lech Lecha, who followed me? Vayelech Ito Lot. So how can I possibly betray him at the time of his tzoros, menschlichkeit? That's why he went to war, even though it was a Sofik Sekonis Nefoshes. And Derech, and his Pshat, Rabbi Yaakov says, what Pshat Derech Eretz Kodmo LaTorah? It's not that before you learn Torah, be a Baal Derech Eretz. He says, before Torah was given in Har Sinai, what was the Torah of the future of Klal Yisrael? It was the Derech Eretz of the Avos. That's what defined them as people. Derech Eretz preceded chronologically Torah, Derech Eretz Kodmo LaTorah, which is the others. And that is the Lashon of the Torah. And why is Torah called Torah? He says, because it's Mora Derech. It teaches you the way to Yashu, Sefer HaYosha. And then he says, this explains why the first Rashi in Bereshis, which justifies starting the Torah from Bereshis and not HaKodesh HaZelochen, if Torah is a book of law, why does it start from Bereshis, an account of the creation? So Rashi says, because Koyach Masov Higid Le'ahu, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to, set down the title deeds of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. He says that only explains Bereshis. What about from Noach and Lech Lecha onwards? That doesn't explain why the Torah had to include that. And the answer, he says, is only because of one way. Moira Derech. It's Sefer Yosha. And therefore, he said, that's what defined Rabbi Yaakov. And what formed this in his life? Where did this Menschlichkeit theme, which coursed through his veins all his life, where did this come from? It came from 6 months that he spent in Kelm. After he left, after 20 years in Slobodka, he spent 6 months in Kelm. He arrived there during Morning Seder. Morning Seder took several hours. The Beis HaMedrash was full. Not one bocher came up to him and gave him Shalom Aleichem. He was surprised and upset. But it was explained to him that the altar of Kelm had been had established in the Beis HaMedrash that from the moment you sat down and opened your Gemara until the end of Seder, you didn't take your eyes out of the Gemara, even if to for anything. Rabbi Yaakov said, he made the suggestion. He said, I felt very hurt about this. I didn't know. Maybe the Beis HaMedrash should designate one bocher to keep his eyes open. The rest can keep their eyes in the Gemara. But one bocher should keep his eyes open, and if anybody appears, that they should be the ones to greet. And they were masakin that in Kelm. But the Menschlichkeit was the cornerstone of Kelm. The word frum, the Alter says, don't mention the word frum here. You can mention the word erlich, don't mention frum. And erlichkeit was in Kelm through learning. In other words, don't pretend that you know something if you don't. And in davening as well. If you don't understand one word in davening, you're not erlich. And this erlichkeit, this is what fashioned Rabbi Yaakov. And there's so many stories about him. A woman came to him just about to receive a large amount of money which her parents had put aside for her when she became 18, because in her youth she had been involved in a car accident. And they sued the driver, and the attorney who acted for them advised the girl and the parents to say that she crossed the road with the green light. The girl said, it so happens that I didn't. I crossed the road when the light was red. Anyway, that's what the attorney advised us to say. As a result of the whole thing, we were given a large amount of compensation. The girl came to Rabbi Yaakov and said, I feel very queasy about it because I lied, I perjured myself. I don't feel I should accept the money. So what Rabbi Yaakov Paskin is so interesting. He said, first of all, he said, you can't now start saying what it was. Because first of all, it'll ruin your parents' reputation. As far as the attorney is concerned, he'll probably be struck off. And he said, and as far as returning the money is concerned, he said to the insurance company paid, you don't have to pay the driver, but he says, you can't keep the money.
What?
You can't keep the money. You can't keep the money. It was done through a sheker. But she said, so what should I do? Give it to tzedakah. He said, yes. He said, but not a Jewish tzedakah. You give it to the American Cancer Society. It's a good charity. She said, why not a Jewish? She said, if you give it to tzedakah, you'll feel that you traded off one with the other, that your perjury, that your sheker, was redeemed by the fact that you gave it to tzedakah. He said, you give it to a non-Jewish tzedakah. That was his yashrus. It's quite remarkable. A person came to him and said It was the time of food stamps in America. And the person said, I lied about, you know, can I tell a bit of an untruth about my income in order to gain food stamps? You know, because everybody does it. All the goyim do it. So he said, no, why can't I? Do you know? And so he said, you know, why can't you? He said, the difference between you and them is that they did not stand at Har Sinai. You did. And therefore you don't do it. His son, Rabbi Yomin, once went and met him in Brooklyn and had taken a train from Baltimore to Brooklyn, and Rabbi Yaakov met him at Brooklyn on the station. He noticed that he had a sefer with him, which was a collection of biographies of Rishonim. So he said, well, you know, it's an interesting sefer. Where did you get it from? He said, well, the truth is, he said, I took it from the Otzer Sforim in Yisrael, in Baltimore. So he says, tell me, he says, how much is that sefer worth? So he said, it's probably 75 cents at the time. He said, it's worth 75 cents. So he says, you're just about to take your feher for smicha. He says, because of this 75 cents that you've taken from wrongly from the Otzer Sforim in Baltimore, he says, you're going to make yourself posel le'edus. He says, you're going to be mesadeh chuppah kedushin for people when you've got no right to. You're going to sign on a get. All because of 75 cents. He says, you return that sefer straight away. This was his sense of yashrus. So that's his mention of that. Another theme of his was his Ahavas Yisrael. Vayom Elohem Yaakov Achai Me'ayin Atem. When Yaakov met the shepherds before he met Rachel, he calls these shepherds who he never knew, he calls them his brothers. So Rabbi Yaakov says, strange thing to call, very nice, but what, strange thing to call them brothers. Yes, we know that this was used by Lot with the Malachim. It says, Al no achai toreyu. He talked about the people, the siege mob outside the house. Don't cause them any harm. But they were acquaintances. But these people weren't acquaintances, weren't it, friends? Lavan called his friends achai. He says, Vayikach es echov imo. Yeah, it's true that they were part of it, but here they were complete strangers. So he brings from the Gemara in Erechin, Tesayin on the Beis, about Ad Hechon Tochocha. What are the Gedorim of the mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach? And the Gemara says there, brings three shittas. He says, you're mechuyev to tell people off, according to Rav, and unless they hit you. If a person will hit you because they're offended by what you're saying. Shmuel says, until they give you a klala, until they curse you. Rabbi Yochanan says, further, no, you have to even persist until they actually nazifa, until they put you in chayim. So Rabbi Yaakov says, if you've got a mitzvah of the Torah, to hocheach tocheach, and because they're likely to hit you, your potter from they're not going to kill you, but your potter from the mitzvah, why should the klala make him potter? And certainly nazifa. So he says, what is the definition of tochacha? The Rambam in Perek Vav of Hilchos Deos, Halacha Zion, tells you what are the gedorim of tochacha when you have to reprove people. Number one, it must be benachas. It must be beloshen rakor. You have to speak nicely. And then the Rambam says the defining words. The odeo, he has to inform the person, she'eno omelo elo letovoso. You have to tell him that what I'm telling you off is not to make me feel good about it, to feel superior, it's for your good. And unless you can able to impart that message to the person, you have not done the mitzvah of tochacha. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov says, the reason why, if you get a klala, or you get a makkah, or you get a nazifa, why you potter, it's not because it's too much. I can't be soivel this reaction. The reason is because you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of hachacha. Because it's not just that your words will fall on deaf ears, but according to the fihalacha, hachacha is not just ben odom lechaveru. Hachacha is the mitzvah ben odom lamokom. And before you do the mitzvah of Hochacha, you've got to find out what the Gedolim are. And unless you succeed in convincing this person that you're his friend, therefore you haven't done the mitzvah of Hochacha. And now, that's why, he says, that's why Yaakov said to the shepherds, my brother, he was fulfilling the mitzvah of the Gedolim of Hochacha. And that's why with Yaakov, with Lot as well, he says, Echad bo lagur v'yishkot shofo, the people said, who is this man who's come to our town? Already he's mixing in. So Lot said, Al no achai toreyu. Achai, he says, look, I'm not trying to lord it over you. I'm one of you. And therefore the Gemara in Erechin says, Tameini im yesh v'dor hazeh sheyodea lehochiach. The Gemara in Erechin says, the art of hochacha has been lost. Why? Not because you're not a psychologist and you don't know how to talk. The answer is because we have lost that Avas Yisrael, the depth of Avas Yisrael, to be able to convict the person that you really love him. The person will go away and say, it's because you think you're superior. And therefore this answers the question also, Rabbi Yaakov asks, out of whole Sefer Bereshis, who gets the most space in Sefer Bereshis? Avram gets several sedras. Yaakov gets many sedras. How many sedras are devoted to Yitzchak? Very, very few. Gets very, very few. And he says the answer is because Avram represented Chesed. Yaakov represented Emes. What did Yitzchak represent? He represented Din and Gevura. What's the difference? Because Sefer Bereshis is Sefer Ayosha, to teach us how to behave. How are you a mashpia on people? You're mashpia through chesed. You're mashpia through emes. Are you mashpia through din and gevura? You have to have it. But as a mashpia, din and gevura, midas hadin, doesn't really work. And that's why Yitzchak only had one Talmud. Who was that? That was his son, Yaakov. And that's why Yitzchak doesn't get much space in Sefer Bereshis. So his Avas Yisrael was imprinted on his neshama. And where did he get it? He got it from the Alt of Slobodka. The Alt of Slobodka, who was, when he says, Mosa Yagia Maisa La Maisa Avosa, he said, when will I be able to emulate my Rebbe's? He had only one Rebbe. That Rebbe that he was thinking of was the Alter of Slobodka. And the Alter stood for Gadlus HaAdam, the greatness and the potential of a person, because B'Tzelem Elohim, when you look at a person's face, what do you see? You see the Tzelem Elohim, Avas Yisrael. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov was a role model for Avas Yisrael. And therefore, how did this express itself in his life? He was known, a person came to his door, he followed him to the street. After 3 years before he was nifter, he had a stroke, he couldn't walk out. He used to open the curtains of his house and with his eyes, he did the mitzvah of Lavoya. Near his house in Monsey, there was a convent of nuns. And one of the nuns actually mentioned to somebody else, she said, I walk in the street. She said, all the men all avert their eyes. But there is one old rabbi who always greets me every morning. Who was that? That was Rabbi Yaakov. and that was him. He actually was asked about a rebbe in a cheder, or a school, who had just been employed and didn't come up with the goods. After about 6 months, they said, look, we've got to buy out his contract. And they came to Rabbi Yaakov to ask if it's mutter. He said, absolutely not. He said, I agree with you that he is falling short. But he said, and of course you can't make the children korbanos for his deficiencies. But, he says, if you buy out his contract now after 6 months, he will never get any job anywhere else. Give him another 6 months. Give him hadracha and see what happens. And his words came true, that the Rebbe improved. And as a result, he saved him, saved the children, saved everything. That's the chachma of Rabbi Yaakov. tolerance of diversity. He was the most tolerant individual. We find that Yaakov on his deathbed used two words to his children. He says, Heosvu, gather together, Vagidulachem. Hikovtsu, Vashimu b'nei Yaakov. Gather together and kibbutz. So Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch defines what is asifa and what is kibbutz. It makes two different things. But what Reb Yaakov says is that if he had to give a bracha to his 12 children, why didn't he have them outside the door and call each one in? Right, Reuven, it's your turn. Your Shimon, you know, give your turn. Give each one a personal hearing. Why did they all have to be present? And the answer is, he says, these two expressions, he was anticipating the Gula of the future. He says, what will bring Mashiach? It will be caused by Asifa and Kibbutz of Klal Yisrael. Each Shevet...
What's the translation of Kibbutz?
Kibbutz means the ingathering.
The group.
Right, the group, yes. But Asifa is a similar thing. Asifa is a meeting. Right? So he says, what Yaakov was saying here is that each of Shavuotim needs a separate bracha. Each one has got his own kishronos. But each one plays a part. You all have to be present. Because first of all, you have to recognize diversity, that each one have got their own kishronos, and one person's bracha is different from another. But you're all people. And you have to learn to live together. And it's no good at looking at this one and saying that he's got a better deal than I have, or he had a different bracha. No one is separated from the other. But each one has their defining role. And as we know, the Rambam, the famous Rambam about the Chashmonoim, why is it that you will not find any Zecher of the Chashmonoim? Because Lo Yotsu Shevet Yehuda, they crossed the divide. Your role as a Kohen is not to be a Melech. I mean, if you cross the line, then it can end in tragedy. But you have to be mechabed everybody for their own particular role. Don't encroach, no hasogas bivu. But you know that each one is indispensable for the whole, and no one is more important. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. That was Rabbi Yaakov's klal. And therefore, he says, the degonim in the midbar, he says, didn't come into force until the Mishkan was made. Why? Because you can have each degel with a different color and so on. You can have diversity as long as you're all looking to the Mishkan. As long as you know what binds you together, asifa and kibbutz. And that's why, he says, there'll be no cheshash of machlokas. And where did he learn this? In Slobodka. The gadlus ha'odom, but the unique potential of each individual. That's what he was taught in Slobodka. And that's why in Slobodka, who were his contemporaries with Rabbi Yaakov? His cousin, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Rabbi Yitzchok Huttner, they all came from Slobodka. Were they like each other? Each one was very, very distinct. But they were all fashioned by Slobodka. And he tolerated differences. He had best of relationships with Hasidic rabbis, the Novominska, the Blujava, the Satmara. But his theme in life was, it's not all black and white. He appreciated institutions that he wouldn't have set up. So when he was asked about a secular yeshiva, which included secular studies, one of his former students wanted to teach there. He says, no, you don't teach there. But he gave his hiskama. A Zionist school was set up in the area. He said, it's got its place, it has a valuable purpose. And when they introduced Night Seder there, he came along and he spoke in Ivrit to make them feel comfortable. And when a young Rav complained to him that down the road there's a breakaway minion because they think I'm too right-wing, he says, I'll tell you what, he says, you know, when you've got a refuse, trash in a house, he says, you have to get rid of it, otherwise the whole house stinks. But he says, my advice to you is, he said, if they want a Sefer Torah, lend them a Sefer Torah. If they need a kohen for duchening, send a kohen along there. But never let any of them back into your shul. This was his chakma. I can see time is up. there's a vast area. But Emes LeYaakov is really a Shulchan Aruch in Hadrocha in life. It's not a Perush. It's not to say that it's a Perush of Chumash really understates the whole thing. Each one is an essay. Each one is a Yesod, and it all emanates from the total personality of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. There's much more to say. We're out of time. Thank you very much.
For